our VIC Fellowship, and VIC stands for Vaccine Information Coalition. You're listening to Progressive Radio Network, the most listened to, commercial-free, and truth radio program in the world. My name is Renee, and the title of our show is What in the Cell is Going On? We're on every Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern, which can be accessed live on prn.fm or later on the front page of our vacinfo.org website. Joy Garner from the controlgroup.org. We're blessed to have again today. Welcome, Joy.
Hi, how are you doing today?
I'm doing super, sweetheart. How are you?
I'm pretty good. A little concerned about what's going on in New York. Well, horribly concerned, actually. A lot of unanswered questions that I wanted to discuss with you. I hear the New York Supremes, the state supreme, has ruled against Bobby Kennedy's case to stop the elimination, I guess, to bring back the religious vaccine exemption. And it's not going well.
Yeah, and I just read today also that
a lot of
three
fronts.
Of
his
family members are going after him. Three of his own family members, I was reading on one of my emails today.
I know about that. I'm talking about the legal positioning.
Yeah.
Of course he's being scandalized, not only by the, not only by the media, but also by his own family. Yeah. But what concerns me more than that, because that was to be expected, what concerns me more than that is a couple of unanswered questions about Bobby himself at this point.
What are they saying?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to do anything other than raise the questions. I don't have the answers. I wish I did.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's easier to understand this within the framework of the chessboard, legally. Then when people understand that more thoroughly, they begin to ask their own questions. And I think a lot of people are still in the dark about the bigger picture here on the legal side of it and the strategy. Now, procedurally, what just happened is he argued before the state Supreme Court and did so, from what I can tell, exclusively on religious rights. And the only other argument was lack of due process. In other words, the state legislature, you know, they didn't have public hearings the way they were supposed to. It was sort of a pass it in the dead of night thing. While they passed it in the dead of night, they also wrote themselves a blank check, because what they passed was, oh, by the way, we have the permission to continue to pass laws and just call them regulations as much as we want on the vaccine issue without having to pass a law. So that was an extraordinary move. I think, you know, they're just kind of beta testing it. They made the mistake in California, or what they perceive as a mistake in California, on SB 276 of inviting public comment and holding hearings, because they wanted to establish that they had followed proper due process procedure for the public that's required for passing a law. In New York State, they've just ignored it all. And here's a really interesting angle on this. And this goes back to Jacobson versus Massachusetts. The opposition, the state of New York, argued that because the politicians were motivated by public health, then everything they did is okay and it's enforceable.
Mm.
Not because they actually made any showing that it was for the benefit of public health, just that they were motivated by that. So I found that interesting. Okay, so chessboard. If Bobby appeals this latest decision from the New York State Supreme, then he goes directly to the U.S. Supreme. Now, the way that deck is stacked right now, we've got the presiding Justice Roberts, who is clearly, unquestionably compromised, completely compromised. The story's already made it all over the internet about his illegal adoption. He and his wife adopted a kid out of Ireland illegally. And now it's in the know out there in the world now for insiders, but it's not something that that as far as I know that the Trump administration has touched on yet or investigated. But it is a fact. It's really well documented. He did, and here's why I can honestly say that without hesitation, and that is that Ireland provably has laws making it illegal for people who are not Irish and do not live in Ireland to adopt their Irish children. And it is a fact that Robert's kids were adopted out of Ireland. So, that much. Anyway, so he's our Chief Justice in our United States Supreme Court, and he's compromised, which, to my mind, would tend to explain why, although he did come in appearing to be a potential conservative, i.e. constitutionalist, he ended up ruling inexplicably that, and he was the swing vote on this, he ruled that Obamacare was constitutional, which it is not, clearly not. He's done a couple of other, since then, more than a few incredibly nasty things to our Constitution and our nation. So he's compromised. I don't know what else to believe about that man. And then of course we have the half dead, Ruth Bader Ginsburg. She went into surgery last year, off the bench for months. That should have been enough to say, okay, your career's over. You're 86, and you got, you know, these life-threatening illnesses, and you're taking several months off. It's over. We need someone fit on our United States Supreme Court. And then when she came back, as we were told, every single time they would publish a picture of her to try and prove that she was back and that she was alive, the digital soldiers would tear it apart in a minute and prove definitively that the video footage or the photographs were from years ago and were being presented by organizations like CNN as, you know, recently obtained, you know, that they had just videotaped her. So I don't know what's going on there. All I know is if she's, yeah, I mean, if she's sitting there in a Stephen Hawking chair somewhere, her corpse that's being animated by a computer box that pretends to speak for her, that box is probably being controlled by someone like George Soros.
Yep.
And so the U.S. Supreme Court is still in a very tenuous situation in terms of our nation's survival because of those two elements that need to be fixed. Of course, we've got the other, what's her name, Sotomayor. We got the others, but what hangs in the balance with just right now is that we're overruled at the U.S. Supreme Court right now, as things are. So if Bobby were to appeal the New York State Supreme case and bring it up to the United States Supreme Court, it is highly likely that the U.S. Supreme Court would rule against him. Now, what would the implications of that be? Well, since he argued on religious rights, now we're going to have a Supreme Court case that's very specific to religion that says you have none. So long as a politician says that he's motivated by public health, what else does that say? What would the other consequences be to our Constitution if Bobby were to fail at the United States Supreme Court on the issue of due process. Again, absolutely no right to any due process whatsoever as Americans when a politician or group of them decides they want to pass a new law, so long as they claim, whether substantiated or not, so long as they claim that they are motivated by public health, they would then be, according to our Supreme Court, permitted to pass whatever law they wanted.
Hmm. That's scary.
Yeah.
That's very scary. It gives them way too much control.
The direction that this, that Bobby's thing is going in is horrifying in its implications. If he had taken a different approach, if he had argued from a different angle on different grounds than he has, wouldn't bother me at all. But it's specifically that he has engineered this to fail at every level. I don't know. I mean, I've got a lot of questions. I don't know.
Are you in communication with him at all or no?
No, I don't speak to the man. I mean, I've seen him at the rallies and, hey, how you doing? And he goes around and all the starstruck people get up in his face and they want pictures with him and, you know, all that stuff goes on. And I'm not interested in any of that. And I'm not interested in anyone that's plotting out a legal strategy that can only lose and
lose,
not only
exactly.
lose, but guarantee us that a precedent will be set in the Supreme Court, the United States Supreme Court, that eliminates our due process rights as well as religious rights definitively and specifically.
Wow.
You know, the issue of vaccine mandates has yet to be, at least at the U.S. Supreme Court stage, completely, you know, pounded into the ground on these other issues, the religion and the basically it's a battle not worth fighting because the only thing you can get out of it is a loss of rights, and yet he's fighting it.
And I just have
a really hard time believing that he's just that ignorant, that he doesn't know what he's walking into or what he's forcing us into.
So you're feeling he's more controlled opposition, which I've definitely discerned from the very beginning.
I don't know this for a fact. Mm-hmm. I have no evidence that that is the fact. All I can do is judge him by his fruits.
Yep.
And they're looking pretty rotten at the moment.
Mm.
Now, does that mean he doesn't have some other bigger, grander scheme here that I just don't understand yet? That is entirely possible. That is possible. I'm just not aware of it, and why should I be? I'm not a personal friend of his. What I am terribly concerned about, though, on top, as if all of that isn't concerning enough, is that we, not repeat any of his mistakes, but I only want to talk to people. I don't care how famous they are or what their story is. The only people I want to work with are people that are 100% focused on and attempting to implement an actual solution to the problem. This other stuff going on, it makes no sense to me. It is guaranteed to fail. You can take one look at it and look at the case law, and you already know, oh, that argument can't work. Don't bother with it. It makes what Bobby's doing right now in New York makes about as much sense as someone of a vaccine injured child filing a lawsuit against Merck. I mean, it's
expected.
Yeah, morally they should be allowed to do that, but there is a blockade up, and so we have to find other strategies. And declaratory relief, where we do not ask for damages, is in fact the only approach that's going to work right now. And that that is also only going to work if we're coming from the perspective of, look, we don't care if the government was motivated by public health concerns when they did this. The fact is they are injuring public health with these policies.
Mm-hmm.
This is not just a personal injury, like I'm upset because my kid got hurt, or, you know, this is overall communist collective health is being destroyed by the vaccine programs, and here's the evidence that that is so. And if the politicians want to come in to court and defend their policies, they had better bring evidence to disprove ours, which they cannot.
So how long will it take them to implement something like this? Shouldn't we go into the courts before we're planning on doing it to prove it?
Wait a minute. I'm sorry, what was the question?
I said, how long will it take for them to, like, implement their agenda of what you're talking about? I mean, won't it take them weeks or months, or is it something that would happen?
Well, I mean, I'm mortified at what's happening to the New Yorkers. I wish I could already have everything prepared and have already filed by now. Mm-hmm. But there, and you know, if I didn't sleep for the next month, I might be able to pull off filing something reasonable in a month. But the fact is, this is taking a little bit longer than I thought to compile all the witnesses and to get declarations and get my team put together. For the paralegal team to take the declarations, and to make arrangements for, you know, travel arrangements, to know that I'm going to be able to have people here and be able to afford to get them here. And I know that I'm going to be able to do all of these things, but I do not reasonably think that I can do them in just 1 month, or that I could have done it last month. And here's the thing. I would much rather be cautious and careful and complete, so that when we file, it is a slam dunk. We have everything we need to win. If I stumble all over myself trying to save one state or another, or, oh my goodness, they're doing this here or they're doing that there, so I better jump and fight this on some other argument besides the one that can win. I don't think that's a good place to put resources.
Yeah, you have to have all your ducks in a row for sure. And I'm sure you know about Florida.
What's that?
I said, I'm sure you're aware of the SB 64 in Florida as well. They've introduced. We've got girls
there. Yeah, in every state. And anyone that thinks that leaving their state will save them is a fool, or is just ignorant. They don't see the writing on the wall.
Exactly.
The bigger one I'm concerned about, which I do not believe Trump will sign, is that when Congress gets back, they're going to be crazily trying to push a nationwide mandate for all adults and all children.
That's like right. And
every man, woman, and child in the country.
I do not believe
Trump will sign it.
Say that last sentence again. I didn't hear you. I was trying to say something.
Oh, I said, I do not believe Trump will sign that.
Okay. Frederica Wilson, I'm sure you know, in Florida, I guess, last year she did a national mandate. And I don't know, like I said, I'm not as political as you, but I'm sure you're aware of it. It's part of the whole agenda of theirs, unfortunately.
When we fight this on the level that this is destroying public health, and that is our argument, and that is the evidence we bring forth.
Yep.
They do not have an appropriate comeback other than, well, but our crystal ball computer models say that vaccines have saved millions of lives. Oh, well, what about the 6 million lives that are ruined by them every year?
Exactly. What about my baby girl that's not
What's that?
I said, what about my baby girl that's not here anymore, and the millions of babies? I'm going to be interviewing the next couple of weeks other parents that have lost their child to vaccinations.
Yeah, and I really want your help on getting some of these victims of vaccine injury, the parents, the, you know, whoever you've got. I want you to start making sure they know about us. and to contact me directly. Make sure they have my phone number. I'm compiling a witness list. And these are the people I'm going to have their declarations prepared via telephone. So for people that it's important to actually have in court, we will arrange for their travel expenses. But for people who just would like to have their story heard, whether they can test it with whether or not they're going to get a chance to testify or not, we would like to get their declarations. Because there are other, we're doing an NSA report. We're doing a few different things simultaneously here, and we have a lot of different uses for these things. But it is imperative that the truth be known about the actual numbers when it comes to the injuries that vaccines are causing to the American people and their children. Mm-hmm. And that is the key element there. It's the skeleton key is what it is. It opens every other door. Mm-hmm. Every other blockade, the National Vaccine Injury Act is maybe the biggest one, but every other argument they've got is gone when we come in with this evidence. And we do it numerically. And yes, they can say, we don't like your study, we don't like your numbers. Well, you know, the fact is, right now, here today, I am the world's leading authority at this moment on the health of entirely unvaccinated people.
Well,
there is nobody on the planet that I'm aware of that has surveyed as many of them.
But you've got the force with you, baby. And when he's with us, who can be against us? Hallelujah.
So I may not qualify as a pathologist or any of these other categories, but I do qualify as the world's leading expert on the health status and health numbers of entirely unvaccinated people. And they have no authority in this department. Nobody that can come forward and say, I know about this better than she does.
Mm-hmm. You've been molded for sure. That's amazing. Well, you know, we're 1,000% behind you, sweetheart. And anything we can do for you, I wish I had all the money in the world to give you. And, you know, I do know scripture says
money's,
the riches of the wicked are coming from righteous.
Money is starting to flow in before I even ask for it. So the Lord's, you know, I think more is going to come when I actually focus on, you know, getting the message out there as to who these witnesses are that we're flying in, and how imperative it is that they are there with us, with our numbers, showing risk of vaccination by comparing the health of entirely unvaccinated against the health of our 99% vaccinated population in the United States. So when I talk about a toxicologist coming in from overseas, this is a powerful witness. This is the guy that cannot be, his level of expertise, his reputation in that field cannot be disputed. And he's the guy that'll get up there and explain to the jury that when you inject a particular toxin that is found in all of the vaccines, mm-hmm. you are increasing the dose by 10,000 times. Mm. A jury needs to hear this and understand this. And the other side needs to shut the hell up when they try to tell us, oh, it's the same amount as, you know, it's just a trace amount and it's fine. It's only the same amount that's considered safe as a daily limit or, you know, these types of arguments. That garbage is going nowhere with us, not on our case. And I'm continually frustrated that even though Bobby has access to this same witness, he doesn't even make an issue of it in his legal pleadings, let alone try to bring the guy in to testify. I do not understand that. Even without the overall numbers, which, by the way, Bobby's people have shown absolutely zero interest in obtaining the actual numbers on the health of entirely unvaccinated people in the United States. You'd think he'd be interested in that, but he appears not to be. Same with Del Victory. Zero interest. And yet he gets up there and screams, we need a study with true controls. We already have them.
Yeah. Well, I saw Dale doing them.
I'm very frustrated by all of that. But regardless of that, I don't know what those people are going to do. I don't know what anyone else really for sure is going to do. But I'll tell you this. I know what I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. One way or another, we're going to win this and we're going to stop this madness.
Yep. It has to be stopped. I mean, it's literally terrorism. Literally. I mean, they're terrorists.
It is nothing short of genocide.
Exactly.
The vaccine
genocide
programs here in the United States. I knew they were bad. I didn't like them myself. I didn't want them for my kids. I knew they had some dangerous ingredients in them. I had no idea how risky it was. Mm-hmm. When you run the numbers, and you realize that the truth is it's well over 54% mm-hmm. that likely, worse than a coin toss, whether or not your kid's going to get terribly ill from a shot, from engaging in vaccination. So well over 54% chance that your kid could be one of the ones that gets brain damaged and or paralyzed and or this and or that. Life-threatening allergies, et cetera. It just goes on and on and on.
Cancer.
We're to believe that vaccines are safe because, oh, the risk of just this one thing is so low. Yeah, but there's a risk 50 other horrific things could happen.
That's right.
And when you put them all together, it's 54% or higher that when your child is vaccinated, they're going to have something horrible happen to them and probably several horrible things. When I saw that and I realized that, and then when I heard that they were putting glyphosates mm-hmm. in the vaccines, mm. you know, now and then you pull out the toxicology list where that shows the hierarchy of toxic substances, and you set that list down next to a vaccine insert ingredients list,
mm-hmm.
and there's no way any of this is an accident. Because there's hardly any of the toxic ingredients that aren't included on the vaccine ingredients list.
That's right. And the nagalase also. There's nagalase that literally shuts down the immune system in many of the vaccinations.
And that's the other thing. There are myriad things in the vaccines that they don't even list.
Yep.
And we don't know what all of them are. The ones we do know about, like nagalase and glyphosate,
mm-hmm.
are horrifying enough, but my goodness, what else is in there we don't know that they don't list and most people have no idea.
I got a question for you. Have you thought about or are you planning on when you go comparing or having parents who have injured children like myself or had an injured child with the health of their current unvaccinated children? Would that be advantageous for you at all?
Absolutely. Those types of stories. First off, right out of the gate, I absolutely know that it is beneficial to get those declarations mm-hmm. from everyone that's got a story like that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that is something that is an anecdotal. Even if we get a lot of them, it's mm-hmm. still considered anecdotal. Yeah. But what's nice about it is it firmly corroborates the actual numbers that we have collected on the health of entirely unvaccinated people. It bolsters everything. It's more corroboration. And the fact is in many of the vaccine injury stories, we're looking at a lot of parents who have made the mistake of allowing their first and second child, to be vaccinated. And they watched them both get injured, more than one for a lot of families, and for some families, more than two. Before they stopped vaccinating and any new children. And all of them have the exact same story. The ones that were vaccinated are sick as dogs or even dead. And the ones that weren't vaccinated appear to be fine.
And everyone needs to hear this. Everyone needs to know this. This is something
that, anyone that's listening to this that has a story to tell and would like it to reach President Trump's desk in an NSA report, would like to possibly testify as corroboration to what we already can prove with the numbers when we go to court, please go to thecontrolgroup.org. Find out a little bit about us. We have decided to extend the survey to October 15th. And this is to make sure that we are absolutely at least 50,000% higher on our sampling rate than anything any of our agencies have ever conducted when they've done an epidemiological study of any of our population or portion of it. So again, thecontrolgroup.org. We are specifically asking people with entirely unvaccinated kids, or if they are entirely unvaccinated, to download a survey and send it into us. Fill it out and send it into us. We do need hard copy for court. If you would like to, even if you don't have any unvaccinated children, or maybe you have some that are and some that aren't, we want to hear your stories. We want to find out what happened to you. We want to find out what happened to your children. So please send us a message through the website, and we may well want to see if we can get your testimony in a declaration, whether or not you can or would be willing to physically come in and testify. We still could really benefit in this battle by having your declaration. Ultimately, there are so many vaccine-injured people in this country that if we were to get even a tiny percentage of the stories into sworn statements, we would have to hire a semi-truck to pull up to the National Security Administration and deliver them all. And if that's what this takes to get our point across, that is what we're going to do. It's not that hard to hire out a truck for the day. As we need money for some strange reason, it just magically comes in. This is truly a mission from God. I mean, I don't know what else to think as I've seen the things come together here that have. And it all started with me just making up my mind that we needed to do this. And stepping forward and starting with whatever I had in front of me. And I made a sign that said the control group. I just started putting the pieces together and showing up. And next thing I know, some interesting people started covering this. And mailbox was flooded. Mailbox was flooded. And I tell you what, when the first few surveys came trickling in, I fell to my knees and cried out to God, just praying in gratitude and celebrating, because it was like I was getting a sign, like, this is going to work. It was the first trickle, you know, and then within a couple weeks, the mailbox every day was just packed. And you have to do that. When you see that God's opening a door, even before your foot's all the way through it, you got to be thanking him.
That's right.
And when you get into that place spiritually, things really move. Things really move fast. Big things.
Yeah, we even discussed on our fellowship that we do every Sabbath that to thank him for even the bad things that happen, because they're all for our spiritual growth. And that's when the blessings really open up. The things that we don't like so much.
We forget to thank him when we stub our toe, but...
I know, right? Well, like my husband passing, I need to be thanking
him. The fact
him
that you went inside to put a Band-Aid on, maybe you went inside to put a Band-Aid on it, and there's something horrible that was about to happen outside that didn't happen to you because of that.
Yeah.
Maybe you were about to get struck by lightning and God... said, no, let's stub her toe.
Yep. But yeah, it's insane what they're doing. I don't understand exactly what you're saying Bobby's doing, but it doesn't sound good. And I trust you with my life, Joy. Like you said, you are the only one. I've been fighting this fight for 20 some years in honor of my baby girl that I sacrificed for it. And no one has ever been molded like you have been molded to make this happen. So you just continue letting him be your backbone. You're going to be in our prayers, intercessor prayers. And you know, whatever we can do for you, like I said, we're here for you.
Thank you so much. It has been an amazing thing living this life, wondering and continually asking God, why, you know, and to wait this long and to reach this stage in my life before I got the answer. Mm-hmm. Just really amazing.
You had to get pretty molded, though. You had to go through all your cases and learn the system and everything.
Well, you know, I read that people with high IQs tend to have a higher level of suicide and depression and all these things. And and there again, I was looking at God going, why? Couldn't you just given me like sort of an average IQ and then let me be happy? But clearly he had something else in mind when he was letting me end up with all these legal situations that I had no choice but to learn to fight on my own, and then to give me that confidence by allowing me to prevail in those circumstances so that I would grow up to be someone that said, wait a minute, I can do this. I really can. I've done big things before. I can do this. And I have to. I mean, there's no alternative in my life. I must do this. I do get tired though. I mean, I've been on this since April. That's when I dropped pretty much everything else in my life except for checking in on my 91-year-old mother frequently. Besides that, I mean, my poor husband, I'll be working on legal research and the control group stuff, and he will end up, hey, were you going to cook dinner tonight? Or no, well, I made some dinner for you. No, I'm not hungry. And he's sitting, you know, on the computer until 2 a.m, tapping things out, and turn around, do the same, you know, crazy. But I've had to find a little more balance in this so that I don't lose my mind. And part of that has been to return to the place I started at, which was kind of a cold place. And I'm passionate about, I have to get this done, but cold in terms of being a soldier. Like, you know, you have to just do this. And if you've got too much emotion attached to it, you don't do it as well. Not to be business-like about it, or you're not effective. And there are a lot of there's so much pain out there. And there were some weeks there where I was getting a lot of phone calls from vaccine injured that had not ever been heard. You know, and I could tell by the way they were telling me that nobody'd really ever listened to them. And yeah, it was a hard time just getting through that and figuring out where to put myself in all of that. Which was, you know, full circle back to I need a cold kind of icy effectiveness here. Otherwise, I can't help anybody. I mean, I'm not a shrink. I'm not, you know, my God, I love these people. I want them to be free to heal whatever's left of their children if they still, you know, assuming their children survived. That's the only way I can love any of these people.
Yeah, remind me if I've asked you before, I'm sure you've already thought about this, but are you in touch with any of the chiropractic community at all? Because all of them do not the majority of chiropractors do not vaccinate their children.
Yeah, quite a few actually, some locally here that have invited me to come to some of their events because they're starting to hold their own little educational seminars within their practice, where not only they're trying to encourage their clients who are already anti-vax to come and learn more, but to also teach them how to educate others, and also to please invite their friends to come to these conferences to become more aware. And it's really frustrating, you know, because as these, you know, vaccine awareness groups in some ways are really kind of exploding right now in popularity, if you will, we're simultaneously being hammered with these mandates. And so it's sort of like, well, what good is it to be aware? I mean, where are the answers here? And that's why we have to do this control group thing and get our butts into court. And once that first shot is made across the enemy's bow, you know, when things get filed, it's going to be war.
They
will do literally anything to stop us, and I know this.
Oh, absolutely.
They will stop at nothing to shut us down.
Yep, yeah. Well, my friend David here, who's with me, who drove me to get internet so I could actually have enough strength to interview you today, because I'm traveling in my wellness on wheels, he just gave me something, and I'd like to say this and maybe even let him define it. He's saying that we need to define terrorism to attack them, because that's what this is. David, you want to explain and define terrorism?
Well, that's a shot across their path.
This is my NSA report.
Huh?
Let me just say that this fits right into my NSA report, so I'm intrigued and I'm anxious to hear. So go ahead, David.
Yeah, well, that's just like what you were saying. It's a shot across their bow. We need to hit the bow this time. We need to really let everybody know what it is and then attack it, because it's against the law. Terrorism is against the law, but we have to jump on it to make it known. And I'm vaccine injured as well.
From the military.
I was 15 years after I got back from my third trip to Vietnam. I got out of the military, and I got a vaccine called Pneumovax. And it gave me chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, and a flu that wouldn't go away. And
would you be willing to sign a declaration? Can I set you up perhaps next week with my paralegal to take your statement?
I'd be glad to do anything to help.
Okay, lovely. I like your position on terrorism, and because we are simultaneously preparing to submit a NSA report concurrently with our lawsuit, this angle is an imperative one, and I'd like you to think more on it, the ways that it can specifically be framed. Now, I've already covered the angle that the vast majority of these vaccinations are actually or vaccine manufacturers are actually owned by foreign powers.
There you go.
Yeah, and so that fits right into the truth of what you're explaining, that this is, in fact, terrorism. I mean, the EU, it's mostly EU countries supplying our vaccines now. For a little while, China was supplying some of them, but I think that's been shut down. I've got to learn more about that one. But the EU countries definitely continue to supply our vaccines, and they hate America because we are standing in the way of their New World Order, the carbon tax, and all this unlimited, borderless, unlimited immigration and all these other great plans they think they had for us. And America is standing in the way.
Yeah, once
they can't kill us from the outside, not with Trump in office running our military. Mm-hmm. However, they are currently killing us from the inside with these vaccine programs.
Yeah, and once we define terrorism, that's going to get all the bugs out of the woodwork onto the carpet, so we know who.
I like the way your mind works. I love the way your mind works, because when you take control of the language and you get agreement as to what certain words mean, then you can have a discussion about something and express an idea.
Exactly.
Which is why the elite, the global elite, the banksters and the people that work for them in the media have so corrupted the English language to the point where we're calling true fascists, like this Antifa group, we're calling them liberals. when really the liberals are the freedom lovers that are supporting Trump right now.
Amen.
They believe in free speech. They believe in gun rights, property rights, due process, all of these things. And that leads me to another subject, which is that we need to begin to, first and foremost, reach out to Trump supporters on this vaccine issue. And I'll tell you why I've come to learn that the Trump supporting community is the most open right now to learning something new that's different than what they've heard on TV, because they just saw what the television did to try and destroy their president. And they know they cannot trust the media.
That's
and
right.
When they come to understand that these vaccine programs are primarily pushed by and profit these foreign powers, that then they're kind of open to hearing the rest of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think that the Trump supporters are our best bet in terms of raising awareness right now.
I think this is the best time to do it before 2020, because the president has a few surprises coming up, and we need to be one of the one to help surprise people. and if things really don't do what they're supposed to do, and none of them work, then that needs to be known. That needs to be headlines.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the more imperative message is that the vaccine programs are literally poised right now to basically swallow an entire generation of American children whole.
That's right.
I mean, that's literally what's going on right now. And that is the purpose, the design behind the mandates. Our complaint isn't even reaching the point of whether or not they prevent measles. Our point is, if you took every single infectious epidemic that American history and combined it into one massive epidemic, you could not see even a minute fraction of a percentage of the death from that we can clearly identify the vaccines are causing at this time.
Yeah, push that point.
So even if you don't argue the effectiveness side of it, yeah, maybe they do prevent some of this crap. But what was all that crap, even at its worst, going to do to us as a nation? Nothing compared to what the vaccines are currently doing.
That's right.
I mean, this is literal genocide, what's going on right now. And it is intended to take this country down.
That's right.
The hand that rocks the cradle, right? Well, these vaccine companies control our children now. And they decide what gets injected into them.
Yep, I agree.
Companies doesn't even count, enjoy. This isn't powers. Even counting cancer. I mean, with the adults, too. I mean, people aren't aware, and I teach this in my presentation, that the monkey viruses, the retroviruses, because they use those live mediums to make the vaccinations along with all the heavy metals, the formaldehyde, the aluminum, the antifreeze, the nagalase, the glyphosate, all that stuff. And then you're bypassing our creator's defenses. If it comes to the nose or the mouth, that's his exposure to be able to defend with fever, vomiting, diarrhea. But you're going straight to the bloodstream with this stuff. So even cancer, I mean, cancer is like every other person today. I mean, literally every other person.
You know,
they're fine.
The monkey virus is well documented, the kidney, that whole thing.
Yep.
And then you throw in the glyphosate thing with the recent... See, I like the glyphosate one maybe a little bit more because our entirely unvaccinated, we're not seeing any cancer. In a country where cancer has now become the single leading cause of death by disease in our children.
That's right.
And now we come to find out, oh, they're putting glyphosate in the vaccines as well. Oh, and for some strange reason, if your child is unvaccinated, they don't get cancer. You know, just like the old days a few decades ago when cancer was almost unheard of in children.
That's right. So, or even,
yeah, I mean, worse, they're not going to have a lot of great responses to this. Every trick they pull on us is going to be procedural, and it's going to be a money attack. Like, we can file more than you can file. Well, I know how to beat them at that game, too. I've done it before. Yeah. Against the Rockefeller Trust Fund babies trying to steal my patent. And and I'm close to the U.S. District Court. I'm 15 minutes away in good traffic. Down there filing 15 things every day. I beat six lawsuits when I was doing that. So hopefully, even if they hire 20, I'll be on the top of my game, and I'll kick their butts anyway.
Yeah, now we just have to get people to choose between being shot with a 38 or a vaccine.
Well, I'm not looking to see it come to that. This is our last stand. We will go into court. We will ask that our judicial branch of government protect us from genocide, which we will demonstrate is in fact occurring with the vaccine programs. If our judicial branch will not do this, and they say, you know what, we don't care if America falls, and we don't care if these foreign powers destroy the country and kill everyone in it. If that is the answer we get back from our judicial branch of government, and Trump doesn't step up and do something to help, well, then that's when the bullets fly. I mean, that's when the gloves are off. And we're fighting for our lives in the streets with guns. You know, I mean, and thank God we've managed to keep them this long.
Amen.
But I don't want to see it come to that. We still do have a branch of government that I still believe in. And I'm going to go in there with that faith that they're going to do the right thing. And I'm going to give them everything they need to have. And I mean, for all we know, the state Supreme Court in New York wanted to do the right thing, but couldn't because of the way that Bobby framed the lawsuit.
He is a Kennedy.
I don't know what to think anymore. I thought he was good. The jury's out. I'll just say that. I mean, the jury's out for me on him. You can only see that dirty fruit, the actual fruits, be rotten like that so many times before you just go, okay, that's what kind of tree it is.
Yep. Well, you know that you and I are fearless. This isn't about the root of all evil, the love of money. It's not about money. And we come from the hearts, the pure hearts from our Creator, whose battle it is. And we'll have radio show after radio show exposing. If you keep feeling the way you're feeling about him and you keep finding facts, then it will be exposed because, fortunately, we've been blessed with this weekly radio show, and little by little, people are finding out about it, and we're getting larger and larger, the audiences. We'll make CDs and pass them out to everybody. We'll do everything we have to do. My baby girl died for this baby, so you know I will fight to death for this.
I'm, it's a tough one because the fact is Bobby spreads so much truth.
Yeah.
And that it has been incredibly valuable. Same with Del Bigtree.
I know.
I cannot put them
my
down.
My front page is all Del Bigtree and Bobby Kennedy, pretty much.
You know, when I look at the kinds of things they are exposing to the public, yeah. I don't want to dash them. I don't want to slam them. I'm angry and I'm frustrated at the entire situation. And I'm angry and frustrated that the things that they're doing aren't necessarily helping us protect ourselves and our children.
That's
They're
right.
They're just making us aware of how bad it is. And it's like, well, what else are you going to do?
Yep. And we're running out of time now, sweetheart. So I'm going to do my closing statement.
I have no idea.
Say it again?
Literally have no idea what else to do.
Yeah. Well, we'll continue this in a couple of weeks. Find out more. I've got to close now, but let's definitely, reach the more chiropractors, get more, because the more that they step up to pass these bills and everything, the more the chiropractors who are kind of staying low and not telling anybody, they don't vaccinate their kids, the more they're going to come out because they're going to be forced to vaccinate. So thank you again for being our guest, and we'll have you on after a couple of shows we're going to have with some other parents that have lost babies. And we're gonna stop the insanity. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. You're listening to, go ahead, one final word.
No, I was just saying, yes, we are. Thecontrolgroup.org is where to go.
That's right, thecontrolgroup.org. You're listening to Vic Fellowship, and our shows can be accessed on the front page of our vacinfo.org website on the belly of the little boy flexing his muscles. We're on every Monday at 2 p.m., and our contact number is 800-939-8227. If you have any questions about today's show, please call the voicemail line 862-800-6805 and leave your name, your question, and let them know it's for our What in the Cell is Going On show. We thank Progressive Radio Network for allowing us to give you this uncompromised truth. And y'all bless.